Hello and welcome to Motopod, the internet radio show all about motorcycle road racing. This is episode number 365 for Wednesday the 29th of May 2013. My name is Martin Darlington. I'm in a cosy little port cabin in the north of Wales. And with me across in California is Jim Race. How are you doing, Jim?
I'm doing well. Middle of the day for me, getting on Dark 030 for you. We're going to see if we can't slap a show together. You're currently at the airbase, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Did a couple of good jobs today. We carried an Italian gentleman who was across on his holidays and, cause he needed to go to a specialist unit, for his heart. We took him from one end of Wales to the other, and his poor wife, who spoke perfect English, but didn't drive. We couldn't really abandon her in North Wales on her own, so we took her with us. And we got there, absolutely lovely lady, very grateful, and said, thank you ever so much. We live in Venice. Here's our email address. If you're coming across, we'll put you up. And so I said to her, you want to be careful saying that. We'll actually turn up. And she's like, no, please do. So, there's four paramedics, two road crews and the guys with me. And I've spoken to Sharon. She said, right, let's book it. So this poor lass is going to have a bunch of idiots turning up on the doorstep.
I've got a job for you for Donington when you get over there next. Yeah. Because Annie Mellor, who's the gentleman that arranged the interview that I did last week with Stuart Garner, the CEO of Norton.
Yeah.
Says that we're welcome there any time to come by and get a nice tour of the factory.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
But at the same time, I do need you to get some stickers off to him. So I will send you the address and contact info for that because they're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'll try to be a bit more prompt than I was with Dave Hopkinson.
I think Dave is pretty stoked. Speaking of Dave and Stuart, both those gentlemen are at the Isle of Man TT right now. Now, this is going to be another one of those, Martin. It's always funny. So in the interviews this week, none of them have actually occurred yet. We're trying to get the show recorded a little bit earlier in the week so that we can give Jules a bit of a break on the whole editing fiasco because it's a lot of work. And so I have ones that are on the boil. I just don't have them yet. And so some of those are going to go on after you and I do the call today, Martin.
Yeah.
So we can't actually announce who they are. We'll just say, here's the interviews. We'll come back and we'll say, those were great, weren't they? And then you'll get to listen to them next week.
Well, one thing I did want to say from last week's show is, of course, Jenny Tinmouth comes from Ellesmere Port, which is about 6 miles from where I live. So if anyone out there knows Jenny and she'd like to get on the show, we'd love to have Jenny on the show. I'm so close. It'd be really easy when she's got a bit of downtime just to hook up and, she can come around the house, meet the missus and have a brew. And, we can do a really nice relaxed, on a nice sunny day. So that's one of 3 days left this year, I think.
I do have her email address so I can make that happen pretty easily. And yeah. I'm sure as soon as Ken Haylock hears this, he's going to be like, go.
Yeah. Yeah. But she's a great girl. In fact, there's a mate of ours who knows her. And he's just, said, she is such an absolutely enthusiastic rider. I was fascinated to know that she became a mechanic purely so it would help her being able to, spanner for herself and go racing cheaper. So yeah, be good to promote the chick.
Absolutely. I have to apologize to everybody out there in Motopod land. Those of you that have donated to the show for the second week in a row, I have not compiled the list of donators. It's actually, Martin, it's getting a little bit confusing because I got recurring ones and these all come across my email. And then we've got new donors and there have been some new donors. Massively appreciated as always. So what I'm going to do is next week, we're going to have this huge list, which we will read off. But I just want to say to everybody that has put in a bit of dosh for the show, thank you very much. It's as always, quite a bit of appreciated. We're working our way towards getting our fees and whatnot covered for the year. Still a fair bit off, but every little bit counts. We'll tell you at the end of the show how to get in on that if you would like to. It's very simple. You just go to motopodcast.com, left-hand side of the page, easy peasy. But thanks. And a big part of it, Martin, is that after the weekend with Donington World Superbike and paying all attention to that, I still haven't watched World Supersport yet either. I don't think you have.
No.
And then I've just been basically glued to Radio TT for the last 4 days.
As I would be.
And talking to everybody that's over there and trying to put together a good show for this week. I think we are going to have one.
So to all the subscribers who have sent money in, and regarding Jim's recent promises to call your name out, he's not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy.
unfortunately, I'm rather human. And when it comes to road racing, I'm easily distracted by something shiny.
I've had this before when I had to subscribe. When I was in the army, I was running it sounds really dodgy. This was, I was running a little number out of a bar in Northern Ireland. No, it was basically, people could subscribe to, we did still like a spoof newsletter thing. And I was trying to work out who the hell's paid and who hasn't. And you just do an Excel spreadsheet and add their names every time you get someone subscribing. And then you just put it in alphabetical order. And if the name's duplicated, you only have to read it out once.
Yeah, I should. There are tools that Jules has kind of pointed me at to help make this a bit easier, because the truth of the matter is the listener base grows, it actually becomes kind of a bit of a monster to manage. I want to make sure that as the subscriber base grows, that those folks kind of get the extra perks that we've been putting together. It's on me. It's part of my new job for the show, but I'm willing to take that on because it's very cool that people are willing to put in. What have we got going on?
I'm just going to make a quick noise because I've got the world's noisiest jacket on, which I'm now indoors, so I can take off. Because every time I was moving, it sounded like I was wearing a crisp packet. It was just the high-vis jacket. So there you go. That's better.
All right, I'm going to make a quick noise myself. There we go.
Yeah, hang on. That was coffee. Sorry about the noise, everyone, but I'm working tomorrow and being very, very professional, / forgot to bring any Guinness with me. I haven't got anything. That's all I got.
Would they let you have a Guinness in your kit there?
No. I mean, the rule is 10 ounce bottle to throttle. So now that's not, you can get hammered and so long as you stop 10 hours before you've got, but you get a 10 hour period of absolutely no alcohol whatsoever. So I'd be good till 11 because we're on call from 9 a.m.
So all of you that are getting picked up by the Wales Air Ambulance Service know that this is a very this is a gentleman that is sticking to the rules very clearly.
Absolutely. Well, you never know who's listening. All right, boss.
All right, Martin, how about if we do a show?
Yeah. Now, having been quite jovial, unfortunately, the first bit of news is bloody awful, but it is something that we know happens, and it's from the Isle of Man. It was 43-year-old Japanese rider Yoshinari Matsushita who was killed during practice on Monday, riding for Taiko Suzuki in qualifying practice. An investigation is underway into the precise circumstances, but as you know, the whole biking community comes together at times like this, and obviously everyone feels awful, but at the same time, I think we're quite resilient in our ability to resist the calls from the non-biking community of how can they let this go on, ban it. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, just quote them Valentino Rossi's thing he said to his mum: what do you want me to do, lock myself in my room and be happy because I'm safe? What are we going to do? It's as safe as it can be, but it can't be that safe. I mean, it is riding at ridiculous speeds on public highways with all the flint walls and stuff like that. I don't know the circumstances myself of what happened. I don't know if you're any more up to speed, Jim, but you know, suffice to say that another rider's lost their lives on the island.
Yeah, it and this was somebody that Mark actually knew fairly well, so hit him pretty hard. We'll be talking to him at some point soon, maybe for this week's show. I'm not sure. Also a gentleman that rode Macau. Best to him, best to his family. It's one of those things. And in a way, it was just kind of weird it happening basically on day one. The only thing that had occurred on Sunday were the newcomers went out and followed around McGinnis and Milky Quail and a couple of Anstey, I think, and a few other riders to just kind of familiarize themselves with the circuit at a decent pace. It was kind of interesting. I guess Milky Quail got a flat going around the island. So McGinnis ended up with like 8 newcomers in tow. You can imagine trying to follow John around. Yeah, I mean, you know, basically currently the fastest guy on the island.
Yeah, it's like he's somewhere up ahead.
Exactly. And whatever you do, don't follow the person directly in front of you because they're going to have shitty lines too. And speaking of that, the weather of the Isle has been miserable. It's been shit. We don't have Wednesday. Today's Wednesday, right, Martin?
Definitely.
Wow, we're actually doing the show on the day we said we would. The weather's been bad, and normally by this point we would have some time practices yet, which would actually give people the opportunity to qualify. We don't have any because the weather was bad today. It was wet in a bunch of spots, and so while they sent bikes and sidecars out, they said no, this is not counting for time practice. There were some people that got out there and actually went fairly quick. The word was that all around the circuit, especially going up the mountain, basically everybody was just spinning up the rear tire. They're out there on treaded tires at this point with this kind of weather, but it was still a bit miserable. And so there is, I don't know if this is official yet, but I've heard that there may be some discussions underway to talk about modifying the schedule, which is really unusual for the TT. But I think what they're kind of doing is they're looking at what happened with the Northwest, and they don't, and here last year when the senior was called off, you remember that?
Yeah.
They want to try and make sure they put together a good package. We're kind of blessed here in the States, Martin. This is the first year ever where we're going to be getting same day coverage of the actual races, not the full ITV4 package that you all are getting over there. I think, do you get that?
Yes, we do. And it is really, I've got to be honest, ITV, for in my youth, where they were the channel that your parents didn't really want you to watch, you know, they really, the dramas they put together are great. The sports package they put together, great. And the coverage of some of the minority sports, which, you know, sad to say, we have to accept that's what we are. And it is really good. Now, is this coverage you are getting this year, is this part of the same deal that's seen you getting such good World Superbike coverage?
No. This is, we're actually getting the ITV stuff. So,
wow.
We're getting the full bit. I don't think we have it yet. I think it's just going to be for the races. And I'm not sure exactly how they're going to present it. It's going to be put up together. The ITV4 stuff is an hour package every day, right? 14 days worth.
Yeah.
I think what we're going to get is half hour packages. And so they're going to have to be, you know, kind of mashing it together, but, it's going to be on the Velocity channel. So if you're here in the US, look to see if you have the Discovery Velocity channel. Oh, look. What were we talking about?
there is something worth noting. I mean, Josh Brooks, remember when we were talking to James, when I spoke to James earlier in the season on the pre-season chat, and I said, you know, what's the difference here? How can some people be good on the real roads and on the short circuits? And he said, well, really, the guys on the short circuits are experts at getting those little tents, you know, and it's really if they want to go and do it and take it seriously. Josh Brooks clearly is. He went out and did one of the follow laps, and he said, yeah, it's easy when you're following someone. And then went out, and the 3 laps later, he posted the firstest ever first practice time by a newcomer / rookie, if you're American, at the TT. So he's clearly taking it seriously. I mean, he put a very creditable effort up at the Northwest 200. So, it's going to be interesting to see.
The conversation with Mick Grant that we had last week, he and I were kind of going back and forth talking about how there was nobody that was able to actually successfully kind of cross the bridge, that there are guys that are specialists. It will be interesting to see if Brooks can make that transition. But at the same time, it's important for he, as a newcomer, to realize that racing at the TT is not 100% circuit.
Yeah.
It's a 95 at best. And
probably 90 in your first season, in your first year there.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. So what else we got going on here? Because we're going to try and squeeze Brennan Cretu in a bit. Mugello is coming up this week. Michele Pirro will be back on the testbed, the lab Ducati, with Ben Spies hopefully returning to the Pramac squad, so that'll be cool. I should ping him and see how he's doing with his rehab, but I think he absolutely is going to want to be there. And the Ducatis kind of go well. At Mugello.
They've done a lot of testing there, haven't they? Dovi's been saying, look, it's our home track. You know, we've been here testing, but we are aware that, you know, that there are still some issues.
Yeah, yep, exactly. Mr. Depugnier has been off at Motegi testing the Suzuki MotoGP bike, dude. We saw some photos. He's a couple of seconds off QP time, but that's not bad at all. And they're going to be running also at an open test at Catalunya, which is when everybody's going to get to see the thing.
Yeah.
He's 1.4 seconds off race pace. Not so bad. But as David Emmett pointed out, well, the first second's going to, and I read this too, Martin, well, the first second's going to be easier to close. You know, that's one that you can kind of whittle down with setup changes and whatnot. That next second is going to be the one that gets very, very expensive.
Yeah.
I do like your term, cast iron son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I have a couple of those pans myself. Those are the ones that eventually my girlfriend's going to whack me over the head with. You carry on.
Yeah, as you said, there's been a lot of reports, people saying, you know, that this was Ross's track. I think he won his something like 9 years running. It was ridiculous, you know, crossing from 250s up to 500 GP and into MotoGP. And he, crazy amount of wins he had consecutively. But he hasn't won there since 2008. In 09, Stoner won on the Ducati. 10 was Pedrosa. 11 and 12 were both Lorenzo. Now, okay, in 10, Rossi obviously broke his leg during practice. In 11 or 12, he was on a Ducati. So recent history suggests Rossi might find it a tough call, but he is going to be so motivated. I mean, this race, of all the races in the year, in front of, you know, the mad Rossi fans, banks and banks of them, and I suspect they're going to find that they are at full capacity for the first time for a while, because Mugello had suffered quite badly falling numbers, hadn't it, in the previous few years. So hopefully they'll be rammed and he'll be able to put on a show.
There's no doubt that Mugello is going to be packed this year with Rossi back in the Yamaha. I mean it's going to be, you know, shoulder to shoulder. I can't even imagine.
No, and there'll be people with their little two-stroke engines in the frames revving them up just because they like making noise. Now we've got Mugello coming up. The weather's looking a bit iffy.
Dodgy.
Yeah, it's warm but thundery, so we could get some very heavy showers. Having said that,
Martin, that's not a word.
Thundery.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Is now.
Well, okay.
Thundery with a little TM at the end, trademarked.
Yeah. Considering all the words that we've made up on here that have actually turned into memes, I guess we can go ahead and
today
do it
we've
again.
Had smingy weather here. Smingy is a brilliant word. It's an absolutely ubiquitous word. It's like Ujima flip.
I'm totally cracking up that people are writing into the show and using the Europe.
Yeah, I know. Oh, it's like all over Twitter, people would be like, oh, you know, I'm good to be back in the Europe. That's funny.
What have I done? What have I done?
Exactly.
World Superbike. Yeah. You want me to go? You go. Okay, because I do want to dash through this because I know that you have to get off and I want to try and get some interviews in here. World Superbike, we had Donington this last weekend. And as Jules and I were talking, we recorded the show late last week while basically, actually post the FP1 and FP2 for all the bikes. And so we kind of had a good idea of what was going to be going on. It was certainly kind of miserable weather there on Friday. Cold, just cold. Yeah. Not so much rain, but just cold as hell. But it was a throwaway day because we knew coming up to Saturday and Sunday and throughout the weekend that the weather was going to be great.
Oh, it was glorious.
And
it's wonderful.
Yeah, it turned up that way exactly. And it was fun. So I just want to, I'm going to pop through Super Bowl here because, I could run through it, in detail, but, I would prefer to, whatever, shut up, Jim. at the top, once again, 15th poll, I believe, Tom Sykes,
and tied with Troy Corson, huh?
Yeah.
He's tied with Troy Corson now. I'm sure it was Troy Corson, they said. And you think how many pole positions, how many years Troy Corson was running in World
I don't think it was Troy. I think it's who was the gentleman that won a couple World Superbike Championships on the Kawi in the past? I can't believe I'm forgetting.
You're right. You're right. Yes. Not Aaron Slight.
New Zealander.
Scott Russell.
Nope.
Scott Russell.
Like Scott Russell is from New Zealand. I know he's from the South. Anyway, this is
It was that era though. It was that era.
I'm just blanking it. Totally fine. Totally fine. We'll take the onslaught of emails. Anyway, Tom Sykes up front. That's funny. Sylvain Guintoli, Eugene Laverty, both good for my fantasy league. As well.
Yeah.
Damn it. Johnny Ray, Leon Camier, Marco Melandri, Chaz Davis, David Giuliano, who was having a great weekend, and Nico Canepa out there to just kind of throw it at the crew, and he made it into Super Pole 3. Gentlemen that did not lost out in two, Carlos Checa, Cluzel Baz, moving on down, Haslam Badovini, Fabrizio, Neukirchner, Sandy Inazzo, and Lund.
And worth noting that having qualified 13th, Leon Haslam was then told by doctors, you are not racing.
Exactly.
He was ordered not to, and I think everyone except Leon probably thought that was a good decision.
Well, in the end, I bet Leon probably went, the lad's got a wise head. Race one. I'm just going to wander through these, Martin.
Sure.
And then we can talk about the specifics of the race itself. I'm just going to run down your podium. Tom Sykes, Marco Melandri, Sylvain Guintoli. Well done. Johnny Ray, Loris Baz, Giuliano, and well done again in the race. Eugene Laverty, Chaz Davis, Cluzel, Fabrizio, and so on and so on. Gentlemen that were out, Sandy, Lund, and Camier. Nobody could even – basically, Tom ran away with it.
Yeah.
I mean, he was gone.
Yeah.
And that was just practice for race two, which we'll talk about in a bit. This was Tom. This was the Brits weekend, dude.
Yeah, except Marco Melandri did he started looking, he looked a bit shaky at first, but he came through and picked up second. And Eugene, who was vying for second with Marco Melandri, outbraked himself at the Fog Yeses, which we saw a lot over the weekend. And, went down this very narrow concrete track between, which runs through the middle of the gravel, kept it there and came in seventh. Just a bit disappointing. Great run by Loris Baz in fifth again. That kid's really proving himself. He's a big lad as well. I think he's a six-footer. And poor Leon Camier crashed out. So
another six-footer. Actually, 6'1", I believe.
Yeah. There was one stage where it was him, Camier, and I think it might have been Chaz Davies, who's not small either. It was Melandri was in front of them. It was Melandri, Davies, and Baz. And Marco Melandri looked like someone's kid who'd nicked a grown-up's bike because there's these two lanky fellas behind him. It was great.
I've been to enough superbike races and been to enough after parties where it was always kind of bizarre sitting there chatting with Camier.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not staring down at the ground. I'm looking somebody directly.
No, you must feel like Gulliver when you go to some of these.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's like, shit. Didn't know we were racing at Lilliput this year.
That being said, nobody wants to tie me down. Well, there were a few Umbrella Girls, but carry on.
Yeah. Now, I do have to take just 30 seconds to report the conversation had by Jack Burnicle and James Whittam during race one. I think it was during race one. It might have been during qualifying. About Sylvain Guintoli, and Jack was saying, because the camera's cut to Carolyn, his wife, his English wife, and he lives, 20 minutes or 20 miles away from Donington. So it's very much his local track. And Jack said, I've been speaking to Caroline, three children already, another one on the way. He said, she laughed and said, I'm going to have to stop him from doing that to me, To which James replied, said, yeah, but they found out what was causing it. And I just pissed myself laughing. I just thought that was, those two are just fantastic. They really are. BT Vision, well, take a note. Yeah. Whittam, Bernicle.
And I actually can't wait to listen to some of the bits from ITV, because I know that James is going to be on his prime behavior. And the Radio TT stuff from today. So Brandon Cretu, who we'll try and talk to shortly, he got about 20 meters off of the start line on Monday and crashed. That was it.
Are you joking?
No.
Was
no.
This they've been saying the track's really greasy.
Yeah, well, Brandon, I believe, has set the shortest lap ever now.
Oh, dear.
At the TT. Yeah, so trust me, and you know me, I'm not going to let him off the hook for it, and we'll have a charming little conversation about it. I'm sure
I'm sure by now he can laugh about it.
I'm not sure. It's been 2 days, and I think he's still trying to live it down, because you know everybody was giving him massive, massive grief.
Well, Miller, I should imagine, yeah.
Yeah, if nobody else. Race one was a good race, and it was fun. Weather was good. Things seemed to go pretty much to plan for a lot of the riders, but there were some, and it does, that particular race actually kept, Guintoli still at the top. Then we had race two, and it was basically the Tom show again.
Yep. And I mean, he spoke to Charlie Hiscott, or Charlie interviewed him after race two. And he said, we just turned one click. That seemed to work, didn't it? And he absolutely cleared off. I mean, he was, 8 seconds he won by. And we've seen this before with Tom, where he could launch, a couple of years ago, that Kawasaki would get him off the line quick, great starts, and he'd pull out a lead. And then within 4 or 5 laps, they'd start closing on him, and then he'd end up 5th or 6th. Well, between him, the team, and the tyres, they found a way to keep going for the whole race, and he's looking absolutely awesome.
He's led more laps than the two guys behind him combined.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, seriously. I mean, that's pretty hardcore. And the weird thing about it, though, and it's not weird because you do have your incidents, is he's not leading the series. But he pulls something like this out at home, and if you think about it, with Sykes, Guintoli, and Laverty on the box, that was, in a way, kind of an all-Brit podium.
Yeah. I mean, Eugene considers himself Irish, and Sylvain is probably still kind of French deep inside. But he's certainly no cheese-eating surrender monkey. He is...
Oh, my God, I can't believe you said that.
Well, that's what... I thought that's how Americans always referred to French now. I'm just trying to practice my Americanese.
don't blame that on me.
No, no, I'm not. No, not on you, on your former illustrious leader.
Shit.
But no, I mean, the stuff about Monza, where they'd had the protest between him and Tom, James was saying to you about that, that he's an absolute gentleman. He's a lovely guy around the paddock. That's the team just, yeah, they're trying to. He's a winner. He wants to win, but he did come second, and a very credible second. Eugene was living with them a much better this time, but not quite up there. Giuliano again, cracking fourth place. Marco Melandri this time took the dirt track through the foggy. Yes, it's the shortcut, which is not a shortcut. It's a very long cut. Again, Leon Camier crashed, but this time managed to remount and came in 13th. Chaz Davis was 6th, Loris Bowers was 7th, Nicola Canepa was 8th, Jules Cazale 9th, Richo 10th, Johnny Ray, tough weekend for Johnny, 11th in race 2, whatever change they made to that bike didn't work, and Carlos...
I've got to bell into Chris Pike to come back on and kind of fill us in on what's going on with that, yeah.
I know we laughed about, that Ronald Tankata says it's not the oldest, just the oldest bike on the grid. It's the most developed, but I suspect it needs something new. And Carlos Checa's sat out race two. The left shoulder injury got at Aragon, still giving him jip. And that was sort of caused by the injury he picked up at Phillip Island when he ran into the back of Marco Melandri, isn't it? So,
yeah,
incredible.
By Ronald Tankata's logic, I may be the best developed racer not on the grid.
Yeah, exactly. And my grandfather, blooming heck, he's probably overdeveloped now, actually. He died in 1961. And I don't think he rode motorbikes. My dad, anyway, I'm digressing. But one thing that it is worth mentioning, really, for Donington, they weren't brilliant World Superbike races as we would expect to see at that sort of racetrack. It was a little bit processional. There were changes, but I blame Tom. I think Tom should shave that beard off because it's obviously making him go faster and just let people catch up. No, I mean, I'm joking, but I mean, it's worth noting he's been in the top three for the last seven races.
Yeah.
He had a DNF in Aragon race one. Since then, he's been third, first, second, second, third, first, first. I mean, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, poor lad, right?
It's what, sorry?
Poor lad.
Yeah.
He's really having a struggle. But at the same time, it is nice to see. So Tom managed to shave. The joke that I made was Sylvain about he had a comfortable lead. When we talked, was that pre-Monzo, right?
Yeah.
Of 27 points has now been whittled down to four. And so Tom is doing the business and Eugene is kind of creeping back up there too. And what this does, Martin, very simply, is it makes the season interesting from this point out. We don't have somebody that's running away. Tom came within half a point last year.
Yeah.
I mean, which has never happened. Or did it? Did we ever figure out if that had ever happened before?
I don't know, but it is worth mentioning the half point. Did you see Max Biaggi being interviewed? He was interviewed by Tony Carter in the paddock. And
no,
he's lost 5 to 10 years in age.
Oh, I've heard
he was that. Smiling that and cheerful and happy. He refused to write out. He refused to write off ever coming back for wild card or for another go. And so obviously the headline on MCN was Biaggi refuses to rule out a comeback. It's not quite what he said. He said, I'll never say never. He said, but at the moment I'm really enjoying myself. I'm enjoying it. He just looks so relaxed and happy. I thought, quick, Whittam, get up there and interview him now, because all them times you said he blanked you, now he'll do it.
Well, and it reminds me too of having Mladen come back. It's like, you know, some of these people are looking at how much fun these guys are having, and to be honest, in superbike racing right now, there is kind of a bit of a renaissance, and there's a space for people to come back. I think John Ulrich actually had the best statement that we had from last week. He said, I don't believe in racers having an expiration date. He says that, you know, you look at people like Josh Hayes and he's 38. You look at Max Biaggi.
Troy Bayliss, winning his third title at 40, you know.
Yeah. Well, and Biaggi was 40 or 41 when he won his. He's like, the half-life of these guys is not the same. They've learned how to train. You know, it's not the old Barry Sheen days, you know, where we're out partying in our Jaguar all night. I'm kind of stoked. And it's nice to see these guys want to come back.
Did you just say Jaguar?
I did. Is that the...
It's Jaguar.
Oh, shit. Well, okay.
No, it's not. It's whatever you say it is. In America, it's a Jaguar. It just always makes me laugh. It's like, I'm sorry.
So, what?
You guys all drive Jaguars, right? And you're like, is it like a Jaguar?
It's like people over here say Porsche. I hate that. It's a fucking Porsche. Anyway.
Yeah.
Carrying on. You did derail me there for a moment. Supersport,
indeed. It was the Sam Lowe show.
Yep. And it certainly was.
He was on pole. Keenan was also on the front row. Ours was Glenn Richards, last year's British Supersport champion at wildcarding. Brilliant effort by Glenn. Marino Zanetti, Jack Kennedy, Christian Eden, Morice. What's his first name? Sebastian? No.
Sheridan.
I knew he was a tank. Because we've all heard of the Sebastian tank. It was a slightly camp one. It was pink. Lots of flowers on it. And Ivanov, made up the third row. Fabien Fauré, 10th. I was surprised at that.
It was not a great weekend for him.
No, and I'm sure I remember him saying how much he enjoys Donington because he does well there, but hey, not this year. And in the race, neither of us have seen it, so we can't comment. Sam Lowes, I believe, made a courageous tyre choice. Not sure what the choice was. Maybe he went on. They don't have intermediates, do they? So.
Yeah, I caught the highlights, and the weather was the same. And essentially, he did a Tom.
Right.
Yep, he cleared off. So.
Of course, yeah, it wasn't wet, was it? I'm stuck in Le Mans mode. Yeah.
Yeah. It was brilliant, and a great run by him. It was pretty much the. There was some damn good racing behind him. I think the one person that kind of stands out there was something here. Since 1979, was it? Keenan in second. Robbie Rolfo brought home an MV. First time an MV has been on the box since, when was it?
Okay, you're asked. Yeah, probably Agostini.
Yeah, 71, I think, was what the date was. Absolutely astounding. Just brilliant.
And he qualified 16th. I mean, and Robbie's like just, he's raced in every series, in every country, in every world. I mean, he's...
I'm pretty sure he's nearly as old as I am.
I think he's comfortably into his 40s, I'm sure.
Yeah. Running on down. Zanetti, Scassa, Jack Kennedy. Well done, Jack. Sheridan, Marais, Antonelli, Foray, Richards, Ivanov, Tamashi, who led all of FP1, DeRosa, Russo, Badalini, and on down the pile. Kev Colligan crashed out. That was a real drag.
Yeah.
Christian Iden got taken out, and that was even more of a drag. But yes, Sam just did a brilliant, brilliant job. So that was some super cool stuff. And when we're looking at the standings right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sam's got a I'll jinx him. Sam's got a solid lead.
Well, 30 points when they only race once. You know, this is the one World Series covering both paddocks which has the fewest races. There's only 14 meetings and they only race once at each meeting. So 30 points is bloody significant, and Keenan will be feeling the heat, but I don't think Keenan's the sort of guy who lets that heat affect him. But only 4 points behind it, and we've still got Fabien Fauré.
Right. So, there's some people up there that are kind of interesting. Zanetti, who is the one that took out Vandermark, or not Vandermark, Iden.
Yeah. But Vandermark was 20th. I presume he must have run off.
Yeah, but it's still good to have him currently fifth in the points, and he's had a good season running. And, you know, Rolfo with that brilliant finish, it will be interesting.
I do want to just say, though, about the calendar this year, because I was just looking at it, and I've just cut and pasted a bit in here. For anyone who's thinking, yeah, Rossi's back on the Yamaha, we've got Marquez up, let's concentrate on MotoGP this year. Well, I think World Superbikes is about to get really, really interesting. We've got Portimao, which is always a fantastic circuit to watch.
Yeah.
We've got Moscow, which is only the second year we've been there. We've got Istanbul, we're going back to with that unbelievable right-hand King Cup hill corner, which I'm really looking forward to seeing them at again.
Yeah, very excited about that.
And we've got the Budd circuit, I presume, Buddh. It's in India. First time we'll have gone there. It's a brand new circuit. I'm hoping it's not too Herman Tilke Formula One orientated. I'd imagine that's where most of these tracks are hoping to eventually attract is Formula One, because that's the big bucks. But yeah, it's going to be really, really interesting.
It should be good. And so we also know, Martin, that we've got Isle of Man TT practice continuing all this week.
Yep.
As well as the races over the weekend and into next week. AMA Pro Nationals at Road America this weekend. What do we got going on in BSB land? Anything?
BSB aren't anywhere until, I think, the 15th and 16th of June. Same weekend as Catalunya MotoGP. I think they're at Knock Hill. Yeah, they've got a really strange long break, but I think that is specifically not to clash with the TT.
Okay.
So they don't. You've got some BSB riders across there, of course, Rutter and Brooks and the like.
Yeah. The MCN Fantasy League, which Jules really didn't want to talk about last week, you know. And both you and I can laugh because you and I are neck and neck. Out of 300 plus.
So I'm sure you just said we're neck and neck.
You never heard that term before?
Yeah, but that means people are the same.
No.
I think you'll find I've got a slight lead.
Well, no, you do have a slight lead, but considering the amount of people involved.
I know.
Yeah, fuck you.
I got a tweet from Chris Berth saying, yeah, I'm 8 points ahead of you, fucker.
Martin is currently in 10th in the Motopod Fantasy League. I am in 16th, and Jules is in the middle of the second sub-basement in 120th. 120th. But he says he'll come back. But he stopped giving me grief about it. At this point, he's like just doesn't want to talk about it.
Oh, bless him.
Yes, bless him.
And yeah, and Toby Hurst, bless him. Last year, bless him as well. Last year's winner of the entire competition won his FZ8, dropping like a stone. Mm.
Nobody can be perfect every year. But that being said, he led it, I think, after the first of one or two races. So, we've got some interest. I believe we have a young lady.
Denise Abbey with team Brighties Boys. She is top of the tree.
And she's been there. She's been there for a round or two.
Yeah. So, it's tight, though. She's only 5 points clear of Daniel Humphreys. The underdog is his team. And, coming down, we've got Nikki Mellor. And that's Nikki. So I'm guessing that's a female Nikki with Biaggi's bitch. That's her team.
That would be the wife of the gentleman you're going to send the stickers to that works for Norton.
Ah, there you go. Well, she picks a good team.
Well done. Well, I think if I remember, Andy, you can correct me on this if I'm wrong. Well, she picked an all Ducati team. So she just went Ducati across the board and saw how that would work out. And as we can see it,
if she did, she's done an awful lot of changes. No, she didn't. No, that's someone else. I did see that tweet or that Facebook entry. No, that was a Facebook entry. No, that was someone else. No.
Okay. We need to stop rambling because I've got Brandon sitting here on hold for me.
Oh, bless him. Right. Yep. I think you and I are done. We have got Mugello this weekend. It's going to be a fantastic win for Lorenzo getting on top or not. Hopefully it'll be great weather and hopefully it'll be great racing. It normally is there. Very much looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to speaking to you next week on my super fast broadband.
Yes, absolutely. Just a reminder, folks, if you would like to donate to the show, because I do let you know, how to do so. Go to www.motopodcast.com. Same place you downloaded the show from, or if you got it from iTunes, you can figure it out. Left-hand side of the page, there are two yellow buttons, one that says donate, one that says subscribe. Donate one is for one-time contributions. Subscribe one, you can use that and set up your own donation level. Couple of bucks, two, three, five, $20, $1 billion a month. We're all good with that. feel free to figure out what you want to take care of. We definitely appreciate you listening to the show. We love to do it for you. And I mean, you can pretty much tell that we're kind of into having fun doing it. Martin, you be well. I hope everything goes well with your new pilots that are there at your little bungalow off in the woods.
The new pilot's qualified and he's gone.
Okay.
So I must have told him some stuff that was right.
Apparently so. Well, did he fly home or drive?
I think he flew home to Ireland on Ryanair, so he may not be okay. He may not have ended up in Ireland. He may be anywhere.
Well, his luggage certainly didn't make it.
No.
Yeah. All right, mate. You be well. I will talk to you soon, and we will chat online about different stuff. And thanks for a great show. It was fun.
Absolutely. And say hi to Brandon, and sorry to have kept him waiting.
No problem. We will talk. Yeah, talk soon, mate.
All right. Cheers, Jim.
Cheers. Bye bye.
I'm absolutely comfortable.
Oh, right. Just tell us your background. You're on a radio station or something?
We do an online radio show called Motopod. We have for 9 years now. A lot of the people, it's very, very, very specifically about road racing. So, I'm a former road racer, just a club punter, if you will. Doing that here in the States and based out of California kind of gave me an inroads into meeting a lot of the guys that, later as I decided to retire and do the show, gave me the opportunity to still have those contacts and have the opportunity to talk to them. For me, just to give you a background on my TT stuff, I grew up, I'm no longer young. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, I used to run off to the local Duke video distributor in here in California and pick up VHS tapes of the TT because it was kind of my dream. That was before I even started racing. It's kind of amazing because I wanted to go back then, but you know, finances were tight and whatnot. I finally made it in 2011. And coming over to the aisle, I still remember, it wasn't that long ago, 2 years ago, but I still remember very fondly coming over on Flybe on one of their little puddle jumpers and seeing the aisle out of the window and just having this feeling of, oh my gosh, I'm home. And so that's kind of my radio TT listener experience. I did come over, and was friends because I've had a bunch of guys that raced the aisle on the show, but, became pretty good friends with a guy named Mark Miller. I'm sure you've had him on the show.
We've certainly heard of him. Yes. Well, yeah. What is the general knowledge on the West Coast of the Isle of Man and the TT?
I'm sorry?
What's the general knowledge on the West Coast of the Isle of Man and the TT? How well known is it?
You would be surprised. Now, you have to remember that I'm quite involved with the online community, and still quite involved with the racing fraternity. And there's massive interest. To amateur road racers, they still see it as the nirvana, if you will, of racing, because we're all short circuits over here. We used to have a couple of road circuits. The last one I can remember was in Colorado, and not Pikes Peak, which is actually kind of it's almost the resurgent road circuit here. But there are, within the racing community itself, there is massive, massive interest in the TT, and frankly for the classics as well, for the Manx. And Northwest 200 and, you know, Southern 100 and Ulster and all that too. I mean, it's big and it's getting bigger.
It's completely different to anything you do over there. I would imagine road racing, racing through streets like Kirkmichael, et cetera, narrow little country streets. It's completely different to anything, even your road racing over there.
Yeah, but what you got to think is, okay, so I grew up riding on the streets in California, and I was a bit of a street hooligan. It's what actually drew me into racing. And we've got some great roads over here. And so a lot of us grew up riding, you know, especially those of us that knew the TT, having our own little TTs in our backyard, much like, you know, the guys train in Northern Ireland. It was very close to our hearts.
So people are following the progress of the TT over there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I get up at 6 a.m. I know a whole bunch of people that are doing the exact same thing. And now this is 6 a.m. California time, the people on the East Coast. So you remember, they're 3 hours different. They're watching this or listening to you guys even earlier. You know, we've been following the weather so more closely there than we have been at home.
And it's not good at the moment. We're keeping our fingers crossed for tonight. We had an excellent practice last night. And of course, it's so important we get the weather over here for the actual race week itself.
Yeah, indeed. Because I very specifically remember last year when the senior didn't run. And I've got friends over there, not only Mark Miller, Brandon Cray too, a bunch of other people that I intend to interview, a lot of the same people that will be on your show this week. I'll certainly be talking to James Whittem. He's always comes on the show. I talked to Mick Grant last week. I personally am very deeply connected to the TT. When I'm not there, it kills me.
It's dangerous though, isn't it? Because quite a few people say it's too dangerous.
I'm a former racer, and I've seen the danger, and I've unfortunately seen friends pass. But you learn that danger is an inherent part of it. You accept it and you move on. It's painful for a bit, but the lads have a job to do.